Well, again, let me just welcome you. It's so good to have you with us this morning. If you are here specifically to share in and witness someone's baptism, great. So glad you could join us for that. So I just wanted to share briefly this morning a few thoughts that the Lord put on my heart in connecting the sermon series that we've just come through, which is dealing with, I felt the Lord was saying this year to focus on the garden as we approach Resurrection Sunday, which is next Sunday, by the way, to focus on the Garden of Gethsemane and all that was happening there. So we've spent 3 weeks on that now, just looking at some things that were happening. Last week, we focused on this prayer that I mentioned briefly, this prayer of Jesus. And if I could, I know there was a whole group of you at the women's retreat. I'll try to summarize very, very briefly what the message was and how then I want to connect that into this week. But very, very briefly, just this is my bullet list from last week. Jesus, obviously, in this prayer to the Father was asking, is there some other way? Is there another way that this cup could pass from me? But he would always add to that, but whatever you will. Whatever your will is what I'll do. A beautiful picture of obedience submission. I talked last week how I believe that cup that Jesus was referring to specifically was the cup of God's wrath for sin and how that was poured out on him, and he drank all of that, leading to the end of those 3 hours of darkness, probably the darkest time in human history, when Jesus cried out and said, two things. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Just showing that the depth of despair that he was in having to become sin. Thank you, Mary. And then he also, after he said that, he said, it is finished. It is finished. This whole journey, this whole chapter was finished. But also that becoming sin and as the Lamb of God receiving the weight of the world, the sin of the world for all time on him, he said, it is finished. The one who did nothing to deserve even a drop of God's wrath drank it all so that we who deserve all of it could be rescued from drinking even a drop of it. What a beautiful, beautiful thing. I shared these two, this one verse, which I felt was very chilling in reference to this question, is this forgiveness made available through the cross automatic for everyone? And Jesus said in John, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. Very chilling, very chilling. That through rejecting Jesus Christ, we are then left to face God's wrath. Whereas if we believe in him, here's another similar verse. I just put that up there this week. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. So that is just a little snapshot that's available on the website if you want to hear that. But moving ahead now to this morning, I would like to look at another passage that I think ties that idea in with our baptism. So I invite you to turn to, no, wait a minute, I'm sorry, jumping ahead of myself. I wanted to focus on one phrase yet that Jesus said in the garden. You remember, he went to the garden, he took his disciples there, he was praying with them. This will be in Matthew 26, if you want to turn there, Matthew 26, which is Guest Bible page 703. Jesus said, I want you to pray with me. And three times he went off to pray to the Father. He came back and found his disciples sleeping. And you see Jesus, this gut-wrenching prayer of asking God if there was some way the cup could pass from him. Then let's just go down to verse 45, Matthew 26, 45, where Jesus says, it starts out by saying, then he, being Jesus, returned to his disciples and said to them, now this is the third time, he said, are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour is near, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. rise, let us go. He said, rise, let us go. With these four words, rise, let us go. With these four words, Jesus stepped forward to obey, to drink the cup that God had prepared for him. With these four words, Jesus draws to a close his deep anguish and wrestling with what was to come next. Not that any of it got easier, but he was now settled. Forward to do God's will, he did not say, rise, let us run. Rise, let us get out of here as fast as we can. He said, rise, let us go. It's time to move forward into this plan that God has for me. Go to all God had planned. Go to fulfill his purpose on the earth. Go to rescue mankind from their sin. What a wonderful Savior. His obedience to the Father and his love for us propelled him into the most physically, emotionally, and spiritually painful 15 hours ever experienced in human history. Ever experienced in human history. And his obedience, he said, let's go. Let's do this. Let's do this. This is what God has called me to do, and this is what I will do. He surrendered to the Father's will and drank the cup he was given to drink. My question for you this morning is, will you do the same? Will you do the same? Will you drink the cup that the Father has given you to drink? And you're like, wait a minute, time out, Pastor, time out. You just said that we don't have to drink the cup because Jesus drank it for us. That's correct if you're referring to the wrath of God. But I'm referring to a different cup this morning. The title that you saw up there quickly is His Cup, Our Cup. Now let's go to the book of Mark. If you're in Matthew, just go continue towards the back of your Bible, one more book, to the book of Mark, the shortest gospel, and go to Mark 10. Mark 10. We're going to look at a little interchange here that Jesus had with two of his disciples and their mother. That might tip you off to where we are going. Mark 10, and I'd like to read a few verses here. Starting in verse 35, Mark 10, 35. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. That's always an interesting request, right? We want you to do for us whatever we ask. What do you want me to do for you, he asked. They replied. Now, in Mark's gospel, it has them speaking. In some of the other gospels, it actually has their mother speaking. But they replied in verse 37, let one of us sit on your right and the other on your left in your glory. Jesus responded in verse 38, you don't know what you're asking. And then he posed this very interesting question to them. He said, can you drink the cup I drink? Can you drink the cup I drink? Or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with? Let me repeat his question. Can you drink the cup I drink? Or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with? They, of course, in verse 39 said, we can. And Jesus' response, when you stop and look at it, surprises me a little bit, because I would expect his response to be, you are crazy. You don't have a clue of what you're even talking about. You don't even have any clue of what I'm talking about. How could you possibly say, yes, we can? Ridiculous. Just ridiculous. That's not what he said. He said, you will drink. You will drink the cup I drink. And be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. We'll just stop there. That's all the further we need to go. You will drink the cup I am to drink, the cup I drink, and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. Now here we have these two words coming together, the cup and baptism. You will drink the cup, he says, and you will be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with. So what is he referring to? We already pointed out last week and again today that the wrath of God was fully satisfied on the cross by the Lamb of God. So that's not the cup we're talking about. But what is the cup we're talking about? Just like Jesus, who said, rise and let us go, the call for a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ, is to say the same thing. when you place your faith in Christ and you say, yes, I'm signing up for this, the call is to say, okay, let's go. I'm going to walk into whatever God calls me to. I'm going to do whatever he calls me to. I'm going to give myself completely to him, regardless of the cost. Let's just compare these cups, if you will. This is in your notes, I believe. Let's just compare Jesus' cup and my cup. Just a couple things really, really quickly. Jesus died for our sin, right? Jesus died for our sin. Can't die for our sin. And I'm thankful we don't have to, because if I had to, that would be the end of me. I would die for my own sin. But we don't die for our sin, but we die to our sin. My cup that I need to drink is to die to my sin. That's the call of a disciple, to die to your sin. Jesus became sin for us. This goes back to what I said at the opening before communion. He became sin. He who was perfect, he who was sinless, became sin for us so that we, who are anything but holy, could become holy through him. That's part of our cup, is our holiness comes through him, and we have to acknowledge that. Jesus' cup required surrender, complete surrender to God. What does our cup require? Exactly the same thing, complete surrender to God. Jesus' cup required him to carry his cross. Our cup requires exactly the same thing. So our cups are similar and our cups are different. Let's keep going. I wanted to include this emphasis this morning into a baptism service, because as I was reading this, I was really convicted that when we talk about baptism, we don't talk about this baptism enough. When we talk about baptism, we don't talk about the baptism Jesus was referring to when he says, can you be baptized with the baptism I'll be baptized with? We have, I'm afraid, at times, especially in North America, painted this picture of faith in Christ and following Christ leads to a life of comfort and ease and prosperity and wonderful, wonderful things happening to us day after day after day. We don't like this portion of the scripture. We need to be reminded today, the call to follow Jesus is a call to surrender our lives, to lay down our agendas and plans, to allow God to lead us where we want to, or where he wants to, I'm sorry, where he wants us to go. We are not called only to be believers, we're called to be followers, to be disciples. Matthew 16:24, Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. So now we have this third word. We talked about the cup. We talked about the baptism that we share. And now we talk about the cross that we share. I really think they're all pretty much interchangeable. Any of those phrases, the cup that we have to drink, the baptism that we have to go through, or the cross that we carry, really are one and the same, and that is being willing to follow Jesus, to obey him with whatever he calls us to do and whatever that costs. Getting a little uncomfortable, right? They're all basically the same. If you're uncomfortable now, I'll make you more uncomfortable by reading some more scriptures. Philippians 1:29, for it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him. That was Philippians 1:29. Romans 8:16. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we also may share in his glory. Don't miss the beautiful promise on the end, but remember what comes first. If we share in his sufferings, Philippians 3:10, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. Who won't sign up for that? I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. The bad news is that's not the end of the verse. The verse goes on to say in Philippians 3:10, and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. To make it even worse, let's pile on 2 Timothy 3:12, In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Like, wait a minute. Like, where are you going with all this? Like, suffering and persecution and all this. Like, I'm not sure I'm going to sign up for this. I understand how you're feeling. Let's pile on one more yet. Can we pile on one more? Matthew 10, 37. Jesus says, anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Receiving Christ, first step is faith. You place your faith in Christ. And you'll hear some stories this morning about people that place their faith in Christ. That's the first step. But then there's also a step of surrendering, just laying that, say, God, my life is yours now. My life belongs to you now. And for those of you who are being baptized this morning, I mean, this is really the challenge to you. It's like, yes, I believe, but also I need to surrender, and also I need to carry a cross. I don't know what that means. Raymond, I don't know what that means. I don't know what that means for you, a cross. Mita, I don't know what that means for you. And I think my counsel to you this morning would not be to get too focused on that word cross, but on a different word. I'll get to that in a minute. This is not about focusing on suffering. Like, if I wanted to, I could walk through the streets of Lancaster today. I could pick the biggest, strongest guy I could find. I could punch him in the nose, and I would likely then experience some significant suffering as a result. Don't you think? I'm not a fighter. I would experience a lot of suffering if I would choose to do that. It's not about seeking out suffering. It's not about seeking out difficulty. It's about obeying Jesus Christ and following him and wherever he leads you and whatever he calls you to. But the question is, if that call leads to a place that's uncomfortable and, yes, involves some suffering, will you hit the eject button? So don't focus on the suffering, focus on the obedience. Because if God calls you to something, he will give you the grace to endure it, even if it's difficult, even if it's painful, even if it costs you your life. He will give you the grace to do it because he calls you to it, okay? So can you say, like Jesus, rise, let us go? So that's our challenge this morning. We have a cup to drink. We have a baptism to go through, all of us who are followers of Christ. I'm going to put up on the screen here this section that's already in your notes. I know it's like really, really small, but I found this collection of verses. It's pretty much all from the scripture. You have it in your notes. You have the references in your notes, but I just want to read through that as I wrap up this portion here. The cost of discipleship is this. We must each give up our old selves in order to embrace and become the person Christ has created us to be. Therefore, put off the old man with his deeds. For if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Even though we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. I referred to that earlier also. Thus, having been reconciled to God through the death of his Son, you have received exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Therefore, do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. I would encourage you to just cut that little section out of your notes and put it in your Bible and look at that every now and then. Again, those aren't my words. That's just a compilation of scriptures that talk about what it means to be a disciple, what we're called from and what we're called to. So it is so exciting to me, and always is this morning, to get to celebrate baptism with individuals who have made that, who have come to that place in their life that they want to be baptized. And this is the journey that they're on. This is the journey that they're on. So let's see. Friend, could you do me a favor? Could you get me one of the stools that was up here and just bring it down to the front? If you could do that, please. I'm assuming they went into probably back in there. Move this out of the way. So four people are being baptized this morning, and what I'd like to do is have you meet them first. See, Angie, you don't have to be nervous this morning. Isn't that cool? You don't have to be nervous. You did this already. I'm going to have them join me. Thank you. Up front, so you can hear their testimony. Just hear a little bit of their story, and then we'll transition into getting in the water. So, Raymond, come on up. You're first. See, you wanted Kevin and Wes to join you. Kevin and Wes, if you can make your way up here. I know Raymond said he would like to have you guys up here with him. So I'll let you hold that. Hold it up so we can hear you. So tell me just like a little snapshot of your story. I know you told me you were baptized as a boy, but just kind of give us a little bit of the story.
Yeah, I was baptized when I was 13 years old, and I was going to fish for a while. Found the wrong crowd. Ended up going upstate for 5 years, and back here. If she kept praying, God would lead me here, and I did. And did mess up a couple times, and that's why I call Wes and Kevin up here. I can, God, I want to thank both of you.
I love that picture, don't you? This is never a solo walk. A walk of faith is never a solo thing. God will bring people along the way. So you've re-engaged. You've re-engaged in the church. You've re-engaged in your faith for probably, I don't know exactly, roughly almost the last year. So just what are some of the things that God is doing? What are some things that he's awakening in you that you've said basically had gone dormant? On to sleep.
Well, brought me to my knees to where I cried. I mean, when I was upstate, there was fear in my life.
Yeah.
Because when you're in state, there's lifers up there. They don't care what they do to you.
Yeah, that's a rough place to be.
And I just prayed, and I had my wife pray, and she must have had all of you's prayers. I don't know about anybody in here, but when I sang these songs, tears rolled out of my eyes. My gut was getting a little tight. You
know? Yeah.
I don't know if it's emotion or what it is, but I feel God wants me to get at them, and I'm doing it because.
Yeah, that's awesome, Raymond. You've been on a journey with a lot of difficulties. By your own admission, you know, you were in with the wrong crowd, you were doing a lot of wrong things, and you paid a pretty heavy price for that. So I'm even thinking, as you're sitting here this morning and I'm talking about this cross that we have to bear for Jesus, I'm sure you've recognized already that the things that Christ calls you to, even though they're difficult, connected to them is joy and blessing, maturity, moving forward in your life. Whereas the difficult things you were involved in before were having the opposite effect. It was stripping away your life. It was taking you to deeper levels of misery. So I need to clarify that for you and for everybody. The things that Jesus calls you to, even though they're difficult, attached with them is joy. You know, it says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. And that's how we endure our crosses, for the joy that's set before us. So thank you, Raymond.
I just want to make plain, this is my family here.
Yeah, amen. All right, you're part of our family also. All right, you need to get ready. Mm-hmm. Thank you. All right, Vita. Yep. Okay. Come on, right over here. I sit on the stool, so we're just like this, okay? I'll let you hold that. So Mita, like everyone, like all of us in the room, you have a story, you have a journey. Tell me just a little bit about that. Again, I know from you, there was a moment when you were baptized much, much earlier in your life, but tell me a little bit about your story, about your journey.
I'm June 3rd to be 5 years clean from heroin, cocaine.
Amen. 5 years.
And last year around this time, I was homeless, and I met Sarah. And she was like a leech. I was like, she won't leave me alone. What's wrong with her? She's crazy.
What's wrong with this woman? Crazy.
And so I gave her a chance, and she just moved mountains in my life. And through God, she brought me to this church. And I've been coming here ever since. My kids came before me, so everybody would know my kids before they knew.
Yeah. What has God been doing in your life? You took that risky step of coming back to a church, not really knowing what to expect. But what are some of the things he's showing you, or what are some of the things he's doing in your
life? Well, first of all, with my self-esteem. I have low self-esteem. I have very high self-esteem now. He healed my broken heart. I'm not with the wrong men anymore. Got a good man in my life. And God, of course, is number one. My children... I have a relationship with my children today. My mom, I got help. I'm doing real good with those. I graduate in June. I'm off probation. And I'm still clean and sober.
Yeah. Awesome. All of us have the before of what we were. And for some of us, we use different words. There are different things. For Raymond, it took him through prison. We all have different words in the before, but the scripture is clear, is that is what you were. That is what you were, but yes, that's not what you are anymore. So we celebrate that. So baptism specifically, when you heard the announcement recently about baptism, something stirred in you, because you were baptized before, but you didn't just pass it off as like, I don't want to do that.
I was here for Angie and Paige's baptism.
Yeah.
I'm very nervous. That's why my voice is shaking.
You're doing great, by the way. You're doing fantastic.
I'm trying not to look at everybody.
That's okay. You look wherever you have to. So, baptism, what stirred in you?
I seen, first of all, the way I was welcome in the church, I felt at home. Everybody invites me to their houses. They trust me. So I had to trust the church. And you're a good pastor. You call me and make sure you're doing good. Text me and let me know that if you have dates at my house, and I'm sorry, I'm never there.
So all of that was part of this journey for you, and you wanted to be baptized today.
Yeah,
to make that
to be reborn.
Statement. Yeah, yeah. Awesome. Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. We'll see you again in a few moments. Come on, Chris. This is Christopher, and let's see. Did I see Jared come in the back there? I thought I saw him slip in somewhere. He's over there now. Jared, I think I will have you come up when your dad's done, okay? Not right now, but when your dad's done. I wasn't sure if we would get you in here early enough to do this. So you know the questions now. Tell me the story. It was the same with you. You were baptized when you were much younger, right?
Yeah, I was about 8 or 9 when I got baptized. I was kind of raised in a religion background. I walked into a church. My aunt grabbed my arm and said, "No, you're getting baptized." I had no idea what it meant. So as I'm being drugged to get changed, she looks at me and goes, "Don't backslide. Now it's going to be 10 times worse on you." Well, I have no idea what this means. So I asked my mom. She says, "Well, just don't stop following God." Well, I didn't even know if I was following God at that time. Like I said, I was like 8 or 9. And over the years, I've never really followed God. I was just pretty much trying to do it on my own. And I buried this down deep inside and left it go. And it kind of runs all together when I accepted Christ in my life. He brought it to me that I was to be baptized. So he brought up these emotions again that I buried. So he actually killed them completely for me. And for me to do that, I had to do this. And at the same time, I had to forgive people that have done this when I was a child. So this is kind of hard for me to go through as well. As I was walking this journey, before I even knew about this church, I presented this church. Told me to search for the church, and I fought him for quite a few weeks, probably a month or two, maybe. But ultimately, he won. We are here now.
That's good. It's always good when God wins.
But he told me before, like I said, before I even came here, he told me that this church was going to go places, going to do things in his name. And I was to be part of that. I have no idea what that meant at the time, and I still don't. I know what he has shown me with the church. It's for some of the old ones that I call them old ones because I've been here for many years. And for the ones that have just been recently coming or just their first time being here, that this church is the real deal. That God is going to be doing something in this church. He has shown me in the last 2 years that the church has fell. Now, I don't know exactly what that means, but it has fell. And it is being reborn through him. I have seen where it started, and I have seen where it ends. It starts with Christ, and it ends with God. I do not know what it looks like in between, but I do know where it starts and where it ends.
You already mentioned, you tied in your testimony about baptism for you is it's really twofold. It's making a statement as to where you are now, but it's also working through what in the past for you was an unpleasant or a confusing baptism experience.
Yes.
So, yeah, we're trusting God is going to bring healing through this. You know, I tell people that you're not saved the day you're baptized. You're saved the day you place your faith in Christ. But we don't want to underestimate the significance of the act of baptism. And for those of you, maybe you were never baptized or you have a similar story, I would just encourage you to ask the Lord about this, because we could share a number of testimonies of people who say, "I look at my baptism as a day that something very significant happened in my life spiritually. I know it wasn't the moment that I accepted the Lord. That decision of faith happened earlier, but there was something released." So I'm believing that that'll happen for you as well. So remain here if you would. Jared, can you come on up and join us? The young man coming up now is Christopher's son, who is also being baptized today. So can stand here with your dad. And so I'll just ask you the same questions. You know, tell me about, how old are you, first of all? You're how old?
10.
You're 10 years old. You're in what grade? You're in?
Fifth.
Fifth grade. Okay. I was going to guess fourth. You're in fifth grade. And so tell me what you remember about when you accepted the Lord, when you placed your faith in him.
When the last time when we went baptism was going, I thought maybe I would like to get baptized sometime, and I was, and so I thought maybe today would be a good time to get baptized.
Yeah. Today is always a good time to get baptized. So yeah, okay, very good. Well, we're gonna have Jared baptized as well. So you guys can go ahead and get ready. And then if you can give me just a moment, I need to take all the electrical things. Yes. I wanted to say that if you have come here to as a guest of someone being baptized, I would invite you, when they come up to be baptized, feel free to come up and sit in one of these front rows, or if you're young enough, you can sit on the floor. I'd rather you not stand. That might block someone else's view. But, yeah. So I just realized I have one more thing to do. I have to take that heater out of there. I was supposed to do that earlier. So we don't want that in there. So we are just about ready to go here. Raymond, you can come on up a while. Okay, so for each person, you've already heard their testimony. So as they come in, I will baptize them, and then we'll pray for them also. Okay?
Raymond, just like I told you just a few minutes ago, your life is going to be different after today. Never going to be the same. Today's an important milestone in your life. And just want to share a verse with you in Romans. It says that just like we're through baptism, we're buried into death, just like Jesus was crucified, was buried, put in the tomb, and he was raised to life by the glory of God. even so, through baptism, we're raised to a new way of living and a new life. Okay, and I just want to declare that over you today as we pray. Jesus, thank you for calling Raymond to this point of being baptized. I thank you for working in his life through the journey that has been a part of his life up to today. And I thank you today that just like it says in Romans, that we were buried with you into death through baptism, and just as you were raised by the glory of God, that we too may live a new life. And I thank you today that Raymond will live a new life going forward. The things of the past that defined his life, the things of the enemy that has defined his life, they will no longer have control over him, because he will live a new life by the glory and the power of Jesus Christ living in him. And I declare for him today that you will do new things in him and through him, and you have set him free from the power of the enemy. And the Bible says that those who have been set free are free indeed. And I declare that over Raymond, that he will live a new life, and new things will be part of his journey going forward, that you will allow the purposes that you have for him to be clear and to be evident to those around him, that his marriage will be new, that his family relationships will be new, his work relationships will be new. Most importantly, the giftings that you will begin to raise up in him will be new. Thank you for this day, and may it be a day that he will always remember. In the name of Jesus, amen.
And Raymond, just for me, two words I want to share with you. One is the word victory, and the other one is the word compassion. You have a long string in your life of times where you felt you've been defeated. You've made bad decisions, things have not gone the way they should, and you've experienced a lot of defeat at the hands of the enemy. But I want to declare to you today that you are now walking in a place of victory, and God is going to make you victorious. That doesn't mean you're never going to make a mistake again. We all do. But in Christ, we are victorious. We're victorious through him. So those patterns of defeat that you've experienced in the past, they're going to be replaced with patterns of victory. Where you have, maybe you'll make a mistake, but you overcome because you know who to look to, and then he moves you on to the next level of maturity. The other one is compassion. Because of all of the difficulty you've walked through in your life, just a few days ago, we were sitting and talking together, and I happened to mention someone who needed a ride to church. And with very little hesitation, you're like, well, we could pick them up. God is going to, he's going to tenderize your heart for people that are in similar places where you have been, and he's going to use that, and you will become a man of compassion. I don't know if you feel like a man of compassion, but I believe God is going to raise that up in you, okay? So God bless you. God bless you. Father, I pray for Raymond this morning that you would also release your Holy Spirit, the baptism of your Holy Spirit on his life in every way. God, release in him new levels today of hearing your voice, of experiencing your presence, and loving you and understanding your love for him. God bless him mightily, mightily in the name of Jesus. Pray. Amen. All right. God bless you, man. All right, Mita, if you're out there, you can make your way on up here. Come on up.
I just wanted to share with you today when I was praying for you this morning in the shower, where it was quiet, a word God gave for me to you is freedom. And I just see that in you, and I see His freedom all over you, and I look forward to seeing that continue to walk that out. And there was two verses that came to me. One was in Isaiah 54:17, and it just says that no weapon formed against you can prosper. And I just want to remind you of that. You have the Holy Spirit inside of you, and He's got this. And so I just wanted to remind you of that. And the second one was Romans 8, it was it's that we're more than conquerors. And I just recently learned, I've always heard this word, more than conquerors. And I recently heard this explained that when we're conquerors, like, that's awesome. Like, what can be better than a conqueror? Like, you got everything. But God promises that we're more than conquerors. So not only does God give us the power to overcome and to conquer, but He allows us to have the power, His power in us, to share that with others around us. And I just see that gifting in you already, just your heart and your love. So just want to encourage you in that you're more than a conqueror. So I'm just going to love you. So Lord, I just thank you so much for Mita. I thank you for how you are working and will continue to work in her life. I thank you that you are for her. And I just silence the enemy and any lies that he would try to distract her from that truth, Lord, because we know that's your truth. And I just thank you for her and bless her and bless her spirit to know who she is in you and to continue to walk in that and grow that. And just thank you for the many lives that she will touch through you and bring into your kingdom through her testimony. Just thank you and commit her to you in Jesus' name.
The Lord brought to my mind our first meeting, the first time we met at your apartment that day. Sarah was with me. And it came in my memory, something the Lord gave me to tell you. It just sort of like was there, and I told you. But what I said to you was this. I don't know if you remember this or not, but what I said to you, when you look in the mirror, you probably are kind of overwhelmed with all of the things in your past, things that have been difficult, things of failure that you look to. I was so glad to hear you say here about 10 minutes ago that your self-esteem is so much better now than it was then, because that's God beginning to reveal to you how He sees you. I would say yet this morning, you're still very early in that journey. God has a lot more to show you about how much He loves you, how He feels about you, how precious you are to Him. So that's just going to continue. That's just going to continue. And I just have this picture, like you're going to be like the woman at the well who encountered Jesus, and then she goes back to her neighborhood, and she says, look, I want to tell you about this man. You're not telling him about you, but I want to tell you about this man. That's what she did. She said, I want to tell you about this man. And your life will be a testimony to people in your neighborhood, people where you live, your family, your friends, when they look at you and say, what is going on with her? Like, remember how crazy you thought Sarah was? A day is coming when they'll look at you and they'll say, that lady's crazy, you know? So, but that's God in you. That's God in you. So, yeah, Father, I pray your blessing on Mita today. And again, I pray for your outpouring of your Holy Spirit in her life in every way. God, release gifts in her. Release passion in her. God, help her to see more and more the love you have for her, plans and purposes you have. God, regarding the cross that you are calling her to bear, I don't know what that is, but I know this, that you will give her the grace and the strength to do it. So God, help her to follow you obediently, to serve you, to worship you, God. Continue to reveal how precious she is to you. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. God bless you. God bless you. Okay. Chris, are you out there? You can come on up. Chris, the scriptural image that I got for you was Elisha. Elisha. Elisha was a mighty, mighty prophet, and I know that God has gifted you prophetically. But Elisha came into the fullness of his ministry by following Elijah and by watching Elijah and by serving Elijah for years. God will bring other people around you that are going to build up that gift in you. And I believe God will use you. You have much to learn, just like I do, like we all do. But that's the image that God gave me for you this morning. So, Father, I thank you for this dear brother. God, and I pray you continue to release the fullness of your gifts in him, that you would pour out your Holy Spirit in new and powerful ways, God, that he would know you in deeper depths. And God, regarding the pain and the difficulty that he feels regarding his earlier baptism, God, we just commit that to you in the name of Jesus, and I pray that you would bring healing to his life, not only in that, but that in every area, and that this memory today would replace and heal all those earlier memories that are less pleasant to him. So use him mightily, God, I pray. Use him mightily. Pour out your Holy Spirit on him in ways that he has yet to imagine. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right. God bless you, brother. So stay here with us. Stay here with us. And Jared, come on up. This picture. Jared's life group is right up here for him in the front. That's awesome. Okay. Jared, when I was asking the Lord for a word for you, I don't know you that well. We talk a little bit every now and then, but I felt like he gave me the word faith. And faith begins when we start to realize who God is and all that he is, and we place our faith in him. But then as our faith strengthens, God can use us in amazing and powerful ways. And I believe that that's what he has for you. You will be a man of faith. You will be a man that believes God can do things when other people don't. You will see God working in a situation. You'll recognize him when other people don't. And your faith will be a key part of your testimony. I just believe that's the word the Lord has for you today. So, let's pray for him. Dad, would you like to pray also? No? Okay, all right. I'll be happy to. God, I thank you for this young man. God, and I pray that this word would truly be a defining characteristic of Jared's life, his faith. His faith in you, his belief in you, but far more than belief, his willingness to surrender, to carry his cross, whatever that may be, but that he would know you. He would know you deeply and personally, God. So I pray your blessing, your rich blessing on him. God, I also pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in his life, God, just to reveal new, deeper things to him, release spiritual gifts in him, God, according to your plans and purposes and the ways that you want to use him. Bless him today, God, mightily, mightily, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. God bless you guys. Thank you. Thank you so much for being with us today. Thank you for your patience. This is just my favorite mornings, our mornings of baptism, when we get to celebrate. Thank you. The reason I asked for my cell phone, I just wanted to read a message I got from Renee Queen this morning. I wanted to do that earlier, and I forgot. But Renee just wanted to pass this along. Good morning. This is Renee Queen with an update on David. Many of you know them. David is her husband. He should be coming home with some in-home nursing care on Wednesday, the 1st. He will still have the feeding tube, but is progressing in a small amount of eating. Speech therapy has made his voice stronger and certainly given volume to his sense of humor. Our prayer is that he can safely enjoy some amount of pleasure eating, thanks to all who have encouraged us with visits. So again, just to repeat, it looks like he'll be coming home Wednesday, so do remember them as you think of them, Dave and Renee. The other thing I would ask of you is, I know a lot of you will understand exactly when I start speaking of this. When you take a step of spiritual significance in your life, we have an enemy of our souls who is going to want to counteract that immediately. And I know some of you have been experiencing those attacks even leading up to baptism. So my challenge to you sitting in the audience, maybe the Lord will put one of these individuals, we baptized four people this morning, maybe the Lord will put one of them on your heart to pray for them. Pray for them every day. Pray for them over this next season, where they now will come under some forms of attack based on this new step they've taken of faith. So as a body, that's part of our role in this. Also encourage them when you see them. When you see them in the lobby next Sunday, when you see them in the lobby today, encourage them. Do all you can to hold them on and to spur them forward in following God and obeying Him. So that's your challenge as we dismiss this morning. Thanks so much for being here. God bless you. You're dismissed. If there's anyone that would like prayer to receive Christ yourself, we would love to do that. Other than that, you're free to go.